Each commandment is very important, and God gave each commandment for a reason. One of the commandments says, honor your father and your mother, so that all may go well for you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. What does honor mean anyway? Honor can mean many things. When we listen, obey, love, appreciate, and forgive our mom, that is how we honor her. That means when she asks you to do something, you should do it right away without complaining. When you show your love your mom by hugging her and telling her that you love her, that's another way to honor. You can also appreciate your mom by thanking her when she does things for you, cleaning the house and your clothes, making supper, helping you, etc. Our mom wouldn't be perfect all the time. We all make mistakes. So we should forgive our moms when they make mistakes because God asks us to. I'd like to this morning talk about Mother's Day from the book of Proverbs. But if you have your Bible, I'd like to focus and jump off of Isaiah chapter 49. I'd like to take one verse out of Isaiah 49, and the rest of the time I'd like to focus on, and my title this morning is Mother's Day from Proverbs. Mother's Day from Proverbs. Isaiah 49. There are many verses in the Bible about mothers, for sure. But I'd like to focus on this just for a moment as we introduce our service. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but God says, yet will I not forget thee. Over the years, Mother's Day has brought many different sermons from this pulpit and from this pastor. We could talk about the history of Mother's Day, and we have, because Mother's Day wasn't always a special national thing. We could talk about traditions surrounding Mother's Day, maybe from various cultures or countries. We could talk about gifts for Mother's Day. And God forbid if you didn't remember Mother's Day. So there are, you could go online and Google gifts for Mother's Day. And it's not a bad thing to get some ideas. We could talk about cards for Mother's Day. I oftentimes say to my kids for Father's Day, give me a card that means something. Don't buy me anything else. Or make me one. Poems. You could Google poems for Mother's Day and you know how many you'd find? A lot. Videos about Mother's Day. Of course, videos now are probably more numerous than poems. We could talk about family tributes to Mother's Day. Everybody now is videotaping their family tributes to mom because of COVID. We could talk about the marketing of Mother's Day. Do you know this is the most important day if you're a waitress? You make more money today than you ever will all year long. Restaurants focus on Mother's Day. So don't think you're going to a restaurant except at Subway, or you can't even go to Chick-fil-A because they're closed. Flowers for Mother's Day. They sell more flowers on this day than any day of the year. Plants for Mother's Day. It was a mistake to go to Adam's Nursery yesterday. Every single parking space was taken. And I said to Cindy, are you sure you want to go today? Well, yeah, tomorrow's Mother's Day. Meals for Mother's Day. Now, from a pastoral perspective, for the last 15, 16 years, I've had messages about Mother's Day. There are examples of mothers in the Bible we'll briefly mention. There are, we would call, forgotten mothers of the Bible. There are positive role moms in the Bible. There are negative role models for Mother's Day. There are historical examples for Mother's Day. Susanna Wesley, and so on. There are biblical principles of child training that we could talk about, and we could also talk about how to balance the roles of being a spouse and a parent, which is always an interesting challenge. Let me briefly just maybe highlight just a few moms that the Bible talks about. Eve, obviously, was the mother of all of us. So Eve's name means life. Now, Eve had an interesting relationship with God. She knew God before she was a sinner, and she knew God after she was a sinner. Most people in this room knew God first as a sinner, and now we know God as a saved person. So Eve, as far as I know, was perhaps the only mom who can ever say that. Sarah was the wife of Abraham, and she had a miraculous conception of her son Isaac. Hagar was Adam's handmaid. That wasn't the best of relationships, but Hagar became the mother of the Arabic people. Rebekah. She was the mother of Jacob and Esau, you know, those two brothers that fought in the womb. So she was the mom with twins, and that can always be a challenge. Leah and Rachel were two wives of the same man. His name was Jacob. And through those wives and handmaids, they made the entire 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. There's Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. Samson's mother, who was told by the angel of the Lord to raise their son in the way of a Nazarite. Then there's the mother-in-law who shared a faith. Her name was Noemi, or Noemi, depending upon how you pronounce it. For her daughter-in-law, which was Ruth. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, and again, her son was a miracle child as well that she dedicated to the Lord. Bathsheba was the mother of King Solomon. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist, and that again was a miraculous conception because of her age. And then Mary, the mother of Christ, perhaps one of the most honored mothers in the Bible. Now, what I'd like to do for the rest of the sermon is preach the application. All right? Now, open up to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to hang there for the rest of the service. Proverbs chapter 1, we might as well start there. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs, as you know, was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, written by mostly Solomon. And many people have said if you read a proverb a day, it'll help keep the devil away. If you read 5 Psalms a day, it'll help you get through the day. Now, I don't know who made that up, but I think it's helpful. The book of Proverbs, I have likened it to a 31-story building where if you walk into the main entrance, you have a table of contents. You know where this particular law firm is. They're found on the 10th floor. Or if you need an architect, they might be on the 15th floor. Or if you need a doctor consultant, he might be on the 21st floor. Now, that doesn't necessarily happen in the book of Proverbs because there is no table of contents. So you have to kind of come up with your own as you study the book of Proverbs. So you walk in the main entrance, and you're on which floor? You're on the first floor. Excellent. That's good. Okay, so as you read and as you study the book of Proverbs, you should make your own directory. Where do I go for wisdom? Where do I go for marriage counseling? Where do I go to raise my children? Where do I go about jobs? Where do I go about how to treat my neighbor? Where do I go about my parents? All of those things are found right here in the book of Proverbs. Now, it's also very interesting, as I've said before, back in my day, when you walked into the library, there was something called a card catalog. So you would go to a card catalog, you would take out a particular drawer, and under a particular name, or you would have a subject. And they would tell you if there was a book, an article, a periodical, and you could go to whatever subject you wanted, and they had these special codes, these numbers, and you could go to a book, you could go to an aisle, you could go to a level. Some of you have been to the New York Public Library in New York City, and it's like, where do I go? That's the book of Proverbs. So you can find information in the book of Proverbs on a number of different levels, chapters, that cover the same subject. Well, we're going to do the same thing this morning. We're walking in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, and chains about thy neck. I'm sorry, grace about thy head, and chains about thy neck. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to label this particular admonition, children that forsake the law of their mother. Do you think that happens? Happens all the time, doesn't it? We are born with a particular bent. We are born with a particular nature that is anti-authority. How do we know? Just go to a nursery, for goodness sakes. This isn't rocket science. Just go to a daycare center and watch kids try to share toys. Right? You don't have to teach children to say, no. You don't have to teach them to be naughty, for goodness sakes. It's wired. Chelsea? They're wired that way, right? I mean, this is the way it is. And it's like we're putting out fires all the time. Why aren't these kids paying attention? Because they're sinners like we are. And they are an object lesson to remind us we're just like them. In character, we're just like them. In temperament, we're just like them. In nature, we're just like them. Hear the instruction of thy father. Let's put a capital F there. How are we doing with that? Hear the instruction of thy father. That's for everybody. Well, how do I know what God says? It's right here. It's been here. For 6,000 years, it's been here. Proverbs 6, verse 20, if you turn there. Proverbs 6, 20. And we're not going to exhaust every single verse. I'd just like to highlight some if I could. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. My mom was 4'11". If she weighed 110 pounds, I'd be surprised. My dad was 6'2". He was bigger. And I was more afraid of my mother than my father. That might be the way it is in your house. I'm not sure. But if your kids don't fear you, they won't fear God either. I mean, let's pause for a moment. And let's get real for a moment. God does not call you as parents to be their friends. We want an adult in the room. Right? Who's the adult here? That's what the children are looking for. They're looking for someone who can enforce structure because they are without structure. They want to bounce off the walls because that's their nature. And the more tired they get, the crazier they get. Right? You need to put padding on them. They're just bouncing everywhere. And they get to the point where they're so tired, they cry themselves to sleep. And they collapse on the floor. What's wrong with you? I should have been asleep 2 hours ago, Mom. What's up with you? I mean, put me to bed. I'm tired. A child left to himself is like a vine that is without training, direction, or structure. In all areas of life, children need to be instructed, guided, taught, corrected, and mentored. Don't they? Sure they do. In personal hygiene, leave a child to their own in personal hygiene, and what do you get? Personal cleanliness. In listening, leave them to themselves, and what happens? They go berserk. Attentiveness. In obedience, in submission, in courtesy, in honor. Train them in matters of work, respect, finance, accountability, cleaning up their toys. Now, I understand there's a closet, and I know there's underneath the crib. That's when company comes over unexpected. Throw it in there, throw it under there. Oh, nice to see you. And the kids catch up on that, right? They understand this is not real. This is only temporary. This is not how it normally goes when mom and dad say, now put your things away. That might mean you have to get on the floor with them and help them do it. Show them how it's done. And that's a nice bonding time. They also need to learn and grow in areas of responsibility, because that gives them a sense of well-being, security, and protection. Children, don't forsake the law of thy mother. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. 84 times in the book of Proverbs alone. 84 times the Bible uses the word fool. Now, that might get you in a fist fight in some places. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, you might think that only the mother bears the weight of a son who's acting foolishly. Well, that's not true, because the Bible, as I said, there's 84 passages or 84 mentions of the word fool in the book of Proverbs. So it's covered pretty well just in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:20 says, if you turn there, Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. So the second admonition this morning is, those mothers that raise a fool will be tormented. If you raise a fool, you'll be tormented. What do I mean by that? Well, in Proverbs 1:7, don't turn there, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Meaning, a fool is unteachable. They're unteachable, which means they're untrainable. Right? And unfortunately, Steve, all things politely considered, why do they go into the military then? I don't know. It's funny how those young men that are unteachable, untrainable, at home, all of a sudden up and say to their parents, oh, I'm going to join the military. That doesn't make any sense. Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? and the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. They hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:32, for the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So let's say you wanted to be rich and famous your whole life, but you're a fool. The Bible says in Proverbs, if you're a fool and you become prosperous, it will destroy you. Proverbs 3:35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. I'm going to read one more. I think I'd like you to turn there. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. I could bore you to death with all the passages on fools. I was one, so I understand how discouraging that can be. I had my PhD in fool. Absolutely. Proverbs 17:21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Since you're in Proverbs 17, one more verse, if you would, verse 25. You don't have to go very far. A foolish son is a grief to his mother and bitterness to her that bear him. Practically speaking, what is a fool? A fool is someone who disregards any thought of God. A fool disregards the reality of God, and a fool disregards his responsibility toward a God. Not only that, the book of Proverbs says a fool dishonors his mother. A fool despises his mother. A fool disdains his mother. In other words, a fool considers his mother unworthy of respect, unworthy of honor, and unworthy of due benevolence. How do I know? God said the first commandment is honor thy father and thy mother. Number three, the third admonition, go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Now remember, this is for all of us because we have a mother, living or not, we had one, or we wouldn't be here. Proverbs 19:26 says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Third admonition, children, don't chase away your mother. Now, that word chase, I guess, could be defined in a lot of ways. Just let me give you a few practical examples here. To chase someone is to cause them to leave. You're going to chase them away. Away from where? Where they were. That's not too deep. Where do moms normally hang out? At home. Where is their castle? Their home. So you're going to be somebody who's going to chase her away? Another way of looking at this is to harass someone in such a way that they flee for fear of their life or their livelihood. So you can chase them physically, and you can harass them emotionally. You can terrorize your parents. How do I know? I've seen it. And probably you have too. To chase someone is to actively remove them also from the center of your life. You're going to chase them away. Away from what? From our circle, our family circle. I was again reminded this past week when I went to my brother's house and his wife had her family there, that all families have interesting dynamics, don't they? And unless you know the family, you don't know the family dynamics. And they will put up with you because you're ignorant. And you don't know that this person hates this person or that person has a vendetta against that person. And you know how things work in families. Actively remove them from the center of your life until something like this happens. To chase someone, especially your own mother, is to essentially remove any ties or bonds that would link you together. It is essentially disowning a parent from being your parent. How is that even possible? People do it. You're not my parent. I've got your birth certificate, dummy. Of course you're my parent. Well, I've disowned you. So what? The legal papers, the DNA still says, I'm your mother. Yeah, but. Well, that might be good, but according to the Bible, that doesn't work. It is like saying, I am without a parent. I have no mother. My cat, Lucy, we were gone for 5 days. Again, I am not a cat lover. I think cats are a nuisance. I think cats prey on people who don't like them, and they wear them down. Lucy has worn me down. Lucy's not my cat. Lucy's my daughter's cat. She left Lucy at our house when she got married. You know how that works, right? Your kids get animals and they leave them when they grow. So I would ignore Lucy as much as I could. You know what happens when you ignore a cat? A lap tap. They become lap cats. They were never a lap cat before. In Lucy's eyes when we got home Friday night, I was like, are you my mother? To chase away your mother's like living a life with no accountability whatsoever. Like on a day like today. It's Mother's Day. So what? Well, don't you have a mother? Yeah, but I don't like her. So what? We never talk. So? We're at odds with each other. Now's the time to take a 2x4. Because this person's a fool. According to the Bible, this person's a fool. Yeah, but there are no yeah buts. Because the problem's not her. The problem's you. Your attitude could be a bridge builder if it was in the right place at the right time. You could be a restorer of the problem instead of the continuation of the problem. Don't chase away your parents. Fourth, Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 20 with me. 20:20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, I know what it says, and we'll address what it says first. What does it mean to curse? Well, let me just give something brief. To utter thoughts or words that are reflective of anger, resentment, bitterness, cruelty, etc. Now, you might not have to utter anything, but you can do it under your breath. You can be consumed with an attitude of rebellion, and you can voice or not, you can demonstrate your disdain for them with body language, right? To curse is to vow or to pledge things that bind one's soul. And in a fit of anger, a fit of rage, a fit of rebellion, you can feel and utter and say things out loud or inside that can damage relationships for years. To curse is to promise and to make a covenant for good or for bad. So either verbally or secretly, privately, or publicly, you can disavow any relationship with or loyalty and respect toward those that have brought you into this world. I have nothing to do with you. Are there people like that? Sure. Sure there are. What do you think that does to the parents? Let's look at that verse again, because there's more involved with this than just the attitude. Because it says, whoso curseth is his father or his mother, the Bible says his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, John chapter 1. I might be wrong, but I have an idea. I've read this book a few times. In John chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 1 because that's a good place to begin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, comparing the Savior with the Word. All things were made by Him, the Word and the Son of Man. And without Him, Christ, was not anything made that was made. In Him, Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. Okay, now, stay with me here. The life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here we have the Word of God equating the Son of God with the Word. Also the Son of God with light. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God, this is John the Baptist, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. So John the Baptist came as a herald, as a proclaimer, as a messenger. The light is coming. The Savior is coming. The Messiah is coming. Verse 8. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. Verse 9, that was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Okay, now in light of what we're talking about this morning, every individual that has been born, I believe, has a witness of God inside of them. Now, we're born sinners, I get that. But I also believe that God has factory equipped every single one of us with what we would call a conscience. And we have to actively destroy the conscience so that we don't hear from the light anymore. So God puts the light inside of us, even though we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we grow and we decide and we sin and we do things against the light. And the light eventually goes out. Proverbs 20:20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. What does that mean? That God will allow you to extinguish His communication to you, your conscience. Is it possible to sin so often that you don't feel guilty anymore? Sure. The more people you execute as an SS officer, the less it bothers you. The more abortions that you perform, the less it bothers you. The more rats you kill as a scientist doing research study, the less it bothers you. So the more you do things, the less that light affects you. So to curse our father and our mother is not only a bad thing. The Bible clearly says that their lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Next, number five. Proverbs 23. So this relationship with our mothers is extremely, and our fathers is extremely important. I know because I was raised in an alcoholic home. And I understand carrying the baggage of hatred and resentment. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. I think this is self-explanatory. Old is not fashionable. Can we agree on that? Sure. It doesn't sell. It's not on magazines. It's not on TV. It's certainly not on cosmetic ads. I mean, seriously? Unless you're on the Hallmark Channel and then you get these old Hollywood actresses. They're aging well and they're making commercials about it. But you could only get that on a G-rated home show or something. It's weird. So old is not fashionable. Getting older is not attractive to those that are younger. In order to maintain popularity, there's a tendency to ignore and marginalize the elderly in our lives. Nursing homes in America are filled with mothers that have been purposely neglected by their children and their grandchildren. My wife and I were in the hospital. What day is today? Sunday. Friday, we're coming back from the Adirondacks. We stopped in the Utica Hospital to see Davey's Cindy's brother. And we're in a waiting room because you can't go up to visit somebody until they tell you 4 o'clock you can go. And you got from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, that's it. So we waited, and the waiting room was filled with people. And they were talking about their medical stories, loved ones, nursing homes, medical care, medical neglect, on and on and on it goes. Home care for the elderly is not fashionable. For the family or the loved one. I heard heroic stories when I was in Utica Hospital of families that risked taking care of their loved ones at home. But that's not fashionable, because you can pay to get out of it, right? Child care, adult care, you can pay to get out of it. You don't have to do it as long as you have the resources. The pressures of the culture continue to push the elderly further and further away from their own loved ones. Proverbs chapter 30. Look, I'm not saying any of that to guilt you. I'm just saying that at some point in our lives, God either directs us to do something or not. We make a decision and we make our own choices. We chose to take my father-in-law in when he had terminal cancer, and I was a nurse. My wife knew everything that he loved to eat. It was just a perfect fit. And I'll never regret taking care of my father-in-law the last 5 months of his life at home. Proverbs 30, starting in verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. That word bless has a lot of meanings, doesn't it? Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And you could read the book of Psalms and you could see the word blessed or blessed everywhere. What does it mean to bless or to be blessed? They're not the same, right? To be something you do, to be blessed is something you receive. One is a noun, one is a verb, right? Okay. So to bless means to pronounce a wish of happiness. To pronounce a wish of happiness. To express or desire happiness for someone else. Is that even possible? For you or for me to go out of ourselves for a moment and wish happiness on somebody else? To bless means to make happy, to make accessible, to prosper in temporal concerns, to be blessed with peace and tranquility. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. To bless means to wish somebody happiness in the future life, in the here and in the hereafter. I did a funeral this past Wednesday for my nephew, and I decided to look at all of the people that died prematurely. He was 33 from a drug overdose. John Belushi. And I just went through the internet. All of the people, Janis Joplin, Elvis Presley, older people, younger people, rappers, entertainers, stars, athletes. The list goes on and on. To bless means to set apart or consecrate for holy purposes, to make or pronounce something holy. To bless means to consecrate by prayer. To bless means to praise, to glorify. It means give God honor for benefits received. To bless means to magnify or extol. To bless means to esteem or account happy. And to bless means to pronounce a prophetical benediction upon somebody. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. In the Hispanic culture, there's the blessing. You seek a blessing from those that are older than you. And you give a blessing to those that are for respect and honor and dignity. Proverbs 30, 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's pretty graphic, isn't it? that your eyes will be plucked out by ravens and by eagles. When you mock your father and you despise to obey your mother. That's kind of like a guarantee by God. You decide that you're going to do this to those that bore you, to those that invested in you, to those that gave everything they had for you, and just flippantly think there are no consequences for this. These passages of Scripture really got my attention when I was first saved. I was full of anger and hate and rage. Proverbs 28. How do you restore? How do you recover from childhood issues? You need the help of the Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and says, it's no transgression. When was the last time you took a quarter from your mom? A dollar from their purse? That's what it says. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. You're a thief. In some cultures, they cut your hand off if you're found out. That's how serious it is in some cultures. Not here, though. Whoso robbeth his mother, his father or his mother, and says, ugh, it's no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. I remember as a little kid going into the confessional in the Catholic Church. Of course, sins were small when I was small. But sins aren't small with God. Saying to the priest that I had stolen from my parents. And the priest would ask me, what did you steal? I was ready to say, it's none of your business. But when people say, we try to have a conversation with people about their soul or their spiritual walk, and you simply say to them, have you ever stolen anything in your entire life? I've never met anybody who said, oh no, I've never stolen nothing. Everybody's a thief. Well, if you're a thief, then you're a sinner. And if you're a sinner, you're destined for hell, period. That's what the Bible says. That's the bad news. The good news, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. That's the good news. You don't have to pay. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. The bad news is you're a thug. That's what I said to my daughter, my Charlene would be my brother's wife, which would be what? Sister-in-law. Thank you. My sister-in-law's brother. I was visiting with him, talking with him, witnessing to him. Told him how much of a thug I was, and he looked at me and says, yeah, but you're a preacher. I said, you didn't know me before. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 15. 29:15. The rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. So if you don't use the rod, and if you don't reprove your children, they do not get wisdom. They get dumb. They get stupid. That's what it says. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I don't know of any animal that requires as much TLC as human babies. I mean, I haven't studied every animal on earth, or every mammal on earth, and how much time it takes, gestational period, raising period. I mean, it doesn't take cats long to get along once they're out, you know, in the real world, does it? How long does the SPCA keep cats before they sell them? Or maybe that's cat abuse. I don't know. But kids need about 18 years, don't they? Do porpoises need 18 years? Koala bears. Come on, help me here. Do they take that long? Why do we take so long? Because we're so needy. And yet we're so much potential to be like God that without Cindy and I walk in the neighborhood and we go by this house where two elderly women live. And the house has been renovated inside and outside so that you wouldn't know there was a garden outside and you wouldn't know that children once lived there. So it's very plain. The grass is very nicely kept. But there's one remnant on the property that says there used to be, they have grapevines on the back by the fence. I've never been around grapevines. I've never raised grapes. I did roses when I was a kid, so I know a little bit about roses. But grapes are different. Grapes have to be trellised. Grapes have to be tended. Grapes have to be structured. They have to be pruned. They have to be tended to. Or they just flop. They go wild. Isn't that the way kids are? It is. Go into the Target. Go into the store. And watch an unruly child. Who do you feel worse for, the parent or the child? Both. It's tough, isn't it? So what is our responsibility? Well, we've got 9 admonitions easy from the book of Proverbs. What are our responsibilities toward our parents? Well, what if my parents aren't here anymore? Does that lay you off the hook? Oh, they're not here anymore, so I don't have to apologize to them. But you still carry the same baggage, maybe worse baggage now, that you have all the regret that you didn't take care of things before that person perished. My brother called me Wednesday and said his 33-year-old son died. I wept and I sobbed. I just cried. And when my brother and I were done talking, I said to him, I said, Peter, you know what today is? Yeah, the day my son died. I said, yeah, 47 years ago, your dad died too. Same anniversary day. So there are things that are important to take care of. Before then, I never took care of what I needed to take care of before then. Is today the day that you need to take care of some things? Yes, this is about mom. I get it. But this is about us. This is about the siblings. What are we doing? What is our relationship like? What does the Bible say we should be paying attention to? Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and ask, perhaps in the privacy of the moment, that if the Word of God and the Spirit of God has touched us in a particular area, Lord, that you would give us the courage and the strength and the humility. Instead of a card, instead of flowers, perhaps instead of a dinner today, we go to our parent and we say, like the prodigal son, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against the God of heaven. Maybe today would be the day to get reconciled, to be restored, to build the bridge to a parent. That the Word of God says we should. And if you say, well, I can't, that's understandable. But God can. You might say, Pastor, but I can't. I just can't. Lay it before Him. Come humbly before God and say, Lord, I can't do this, but if You would, I would be willing. You might not know what to say. You might not have to say a word. Just show up. Your parent might say, what are you here for? You might say, I don't know, but I don't think I've treated you well. Maybe all of us need to come to a place in our lives where we admit to our parents that we haven't honored them according to what the Bible says. Confess to them. The Bible says they deserve it. Whether they earn it or not, the Bible says we need to give it. Lord, maybe there's somebody struggling with that this morning. How we pray that You'd give them just the courage and the strength to do right. On this Mother's Day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Eric, you want to